Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hi, I'm Kendra.
And I'm Anne, and thank you for listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. If you're new here, we are a radio show / podcast that focuses a lot on couples who have struggled with infertility mm-hmm. and miscarriage, but we definitely cover more topics than that, talking about adoption and foster care and child loss, and we talk about other ministries.
All the creative ways that God builds your family.
Yeah, right, right.
We touch on it here. And we just,
for sure.
We want you to know that Christ is with you and He's more than enough wherever your journey takes you.
Yeah.
But we have a really exciting guest with us today and a really cool topic. First, let me introduce our guest and we'll jump into the topic. We have Austin Brooks, director of American Family Studios, who I had the pleasure of working with for about 15 years, I think 14 mm-hmm. years,
yeah.
Before God kind of transitioned me to be a stay-at-home mama. We have traveled all over the U.S. and the world,
yes.
producing things together. But Austin, what you may not know, one of his titles that he is the most proud of is he is the husband of Emily Brooks, who has been on Hannah's Heart. And no pressure, but your wife was like a killer show, like yeah. possibly one of the top shows that we have ever had of just like speaking the word of God powerfully and effectively and sharing your all's a bit of your adoption story. So no pressure.
She's yeah. really good at that.
But yeah, just to kind of give you guys a quick update on their story, Austin and Emily adopted two precious children, and you need to go back and listen to that episode because God's hand is just all over it. And I think of all of the adoptive mamas that we've had on the show, like nobody quite glowed like Emily when yeah. she talked about and like I think a lot of people wonder like, will I be able to love children if I adopt them? And like we've had a couple people right in with those concerns, and I've sent them Emily's episode because I'm like, let me just tell you what God can do.
Because without a doubt, she was just, those are her kids.
And of course, Austin glows and loves his children too.
Of course.
So we're actually here to have you to talk about something a little bit different today.
Mm-hmm.
So we've talked on Hannah's Heart here before about how difficult it is for a lot of couples who are struggling with infertility or miscarriage, or they're going through the adoption process, when they see everything that's going on in our world with abortion and just the disregard for life. When you're like, I will hold any baby that God will give me, and you see that disregard for life, it can be very crushing. So a little bit of a trigger warning of today's episode, but let me just say, any human being who has a heartbeat should be triggered by some of the stuff we're going to talk about today. But I have found, and Anne, you volunteered at a pregnancy clinic while you were in the thick of your infertility journey. Yeah. But we have talked about how focusing on the needs of others really sometimes can help draw you out of that place of just that dark pit. And it really can help kind of focus your energy. And so we want to talk today about something, the Safe Haven Baby Boxes. So Austin, you produced a documentary for AFS.
Mm-hmm.
It will be, if it's not already, it's going to be very soon out on the streaming platform for AFA. You need to watch it. It's the Monica Kelsey story. What are we even talking about? Let's let's go there. And what made you want to do this as a documentary?
So with the overturning of Roe v. Wade a couple of years ago, we just started to think of what is the church's role now that the federal government has said this is not constitutional. And people often say, you know, you just want to make abortion illegal. You don't care about women outside of that. And so what are ways that the church can support women in crisis? What are ways that we can help these women who are in crisis? And Safe Haven Baby Boxes is one of those ministry tools that can help a woman in crisis. So every state across the country has some form of safe haven law, meaning that you can legally surrender your child. We don't call it abandon. We call it surrender. Legally surrender your child to a hospital, to a fire station. Mm. Those laws are already in place. But a lot of times when women go in and surrender their child in these situations, their face is seen, they're asked questions, they have to fill out paperwork and a lot of times. And so what Safe Haven Baby Boxes do is they allow a box to be installed at a fire station, and a woman 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, can surrender her newborn baby in that box. The box is air conditioned, it's heated. It is a hospital bassinet that's inside. There's a silent alarm that is triggered. And any woman who's in crisis that chooses to surrender their child in this way, it's completely legal. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest draw for this is that the women have anonymity. Mm-hmm. It's anonymous. They don't have to show their face to anyone. No one is seeing them doing it. And they don't have to fill out any paperwork. Now, with each box that is installed, when they open that door to place their baby inside, there is a bag that falls out that has it has some resources in there and information to help them know that what they're doing is legal. And it also has information that if they would like to fill out information about the baby, specific birthday or time or any health history or anything like that, they can do that and submit that anonymously.
Wow.
So they've really, and these boxes are only installed at fire departments or police stations that are that have someone there 24 hours a day. And I think the last that I talked to Monica, the longest that a baby has waited in a box has been maybe 3.5-4 minutes. And that's because because the fire department, they were out on a fire.
Okay.
And the silent alarm was triggered and somebody came back from the fire. But usually if someone's there, it's someone is to that baby immediately. And ambulance comes, takes care. They take the baby to the hospital. They give it a medical check, make sure everything's okay. And usually within 24 to 48 hours, that baby is adopted through CPS, Child Protective Services, and they find an adoptive family to take that child.
Wow.
So it is, I think, what makes it different is that it allows anonymity. Mm-hmm. That's probably the biggest difference from that to safe haven law. Again, most states have safe haven law. I think just educating women on that, just knowing that you can legally surrender your child to a fire station or a hospital, that is half the battle, just educating women on that, because we're seeing abandonments all over the country in dumpsters and people leaving their babies in the woods and things like that. You can legally surrender your child and no responsibility on your part. So just educating women on what they can do, and the Safe Haven Baby Box is an option that gives women that that anonymity.
Yeah. So you mentioned the on the news seeing, you know, abandonment stories. I had no idea how big of an issue this was until I watched the documentary. I got a sneak peek because I've connected to AMS. You're going to have to go watch it. But it really, that was the incredibly hard to watch. Anne, since she hasn't had a chance to see it, and our listeners, can you tell them just a couple of the stories? Because I really think it helps our listeners understand really the dire need for these boxes.
Yeah, so they say that for every two babies that they find, either in a dumpster or in the woods or abandoned somewhere, there are three that they don't. So we have numbers of babies, infants that have been found, but we don't know how many haven't been found. And so Monica Kelsey, you know, when she started this ministry back in 2016 in Indiana, and there are Safe Haven Baby Boxes all over the state of Indiana. Since they began this ministry of Safe Haven Baby Boxes, there have not been any known abandonments in the state of Indiana.
Wow.
So they really, Monica really takes it seriously to educate women. She does it on TikTok because she knows that, you know, girls that may be in crisis are likely going to be on TikTok. And she does a lot of talking and speaking and advertising on TikTok to get the message out, to educate women that you can go to our website, find a location of a baby box. But yes, it is an issue. And people often go, well, how bad of an issue is it? You know, you may hear of one here in Arizona and one, you know, here or there from state to state. But it's one of those things where it's like, if we can prevent that child from from dying.
And why, a lot of these are perfectly healthy babies.
They're perfectly healthy babies. Care. Yeah.
I mean, saving one baby is worth
it.
Yeah.
And Monica says that, you know, a lot of the babies that are actually placed in the bassinet, the one reason why they went with the hospital bassinet is because these babies were actually being put in, still attached to the umbilical cord with the placenta and everything. Wow. Because they're either giving birth in their car or at home, and they're panicking and they don't know what to do. And so
it is just situations.
Very desperate situations. And, you know, the Safe Haven baby box isn't ideal. Abandoned babies aren't ideal, but it's the culture that we live in. And this is just one way that we can kind of take a step in the right direction to serve these women in crisis.
I was just going to ask you about that. So what would you do for somebody who says, oh, well, this seems to be encouraging moms as to have an easy way out, that maybe they would keep the baby or maybe they would go through other proper channels. Mm-hmm. How would you answer that criticism?
Well, I don't think that anybody is looking at this baby box and going, oh, sweet, a way for me to just get pregnant and give up my child.
Right.
Like, these are obviously situations that are dire, and women, they, you know, we all make mistakes. We all make decisions that we regret. And it's just one of those things where it's a situation where the box is there for someone that needs it in that desperate moment.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing, again, I'll just reiterate that to not have to be seen, because a lot of times women can feel shame and guilt for wanting to leave their child somewhere.
And sometimes
unattended.
It is a selfless choice if they really are in a position where
they know I am not able to care for this child. I don't have the means.
The shame can leave. Like, what? I mean, I'm not trying to encourage anyone either to just abandon your baby, but like, what strength that has to be to choose that?
There's a difference between the Safe Haven law and abandonment. Like, it is not abandonment when you do this.
Yeah, it's surrender.
For the child.
It's caring for the child. And actually, if you go to Safe Haven Baby Box's website, it's at shbb.org, or you can just Google Safe Haven Baby Boxes. But they have a logo that is a footprint of the last abandoned baby girl that was found in the state of Indiana. And they named her Amelia because they found her in the woods, and she was wrapped in like an aviation jacket. And so Monica heard about this, and they decided to make Amelia's footprint their logo as a memory of the life that she did have, because she was living until she was found deceased in the woods. And so, and Monica herself, I'll just share a little bit of her testimony that if you watch the documentary, you will hear, but Monica was conceived out of rape. Her birth mother was raped and gave birth, and Monica was adopted by a Christian family and grew up in the church and grew up in a Christian home, and did not meet her birth mom until she was, I think, 37 years old. But she just has such a heart for these babies that need a home, that are surrendered and sometimes end up abandoned where they shouldn't be, and they're not even given a chance at life. So Monica's testimony in and of itself is just an amazing part of this story of how Safe Haven Baby Boxes started.
That is incredible.
Yeah. I don't know if you'd mind to speak on this, but a lot of our listeners are struggling with infertility and loss themselves, and so to hear these stories can make you a little bitter and just like, why? I mean, like, I lost my son last year, and like, I would have taken good care of him, you know, so why did this lady get the chance? So you, as a daddy who walked through infertility with your wife, how does this affect your heart now getting to be a hero for these babies?
That's a really good question. You know, I think the word that keeps coming to mind is surrendering to the Lord. And I think Emily may have talked about that. That's something that we often share with people, is like, we can't always understand why some people are blessed with an abundance of children mm-hmm. when they're not really capable of taking yeah. care of them. And while others are just waiting and longing and just have such a desire to be a mom or a dad, you know, why does that happen? And it's like, God has a plan and he is orchestrating everything. And you may not get the answer from the Lord when you want that answer. Mm-hmm. And waiting on the Lord and surrendering to his will, we have just found that abundant blessing just mm-hmm. comes from letting go of our own desires and expectations and things that, you know, the way that we think things should be, and they're not always that way, and just letting the Lord just kind of take control and surrender to him, you really do see just all of a sudden that blessing come. And even if it doesn't come in the way that you expect it to, or you may surrender and the Lord may never give you a child, mm-hmm. But I think it's making Jesus enough mm-hmm. and saying, even if it's not your will that I be a parent, Lord, you are enough to fill me and fulfill mm-hmm. me and to quench my thirst for whatever it is that I feel that I need.
That's so good.
Well, not only did you surrender to letting God write your story the way that he did, but you also, like, God laid it on your heart as you're discovering the Monica Kelsey story to bring a box here.
Yeah.
And if you know Austin Brooks, like, I just saw a passion in your eyes every time you talked about it, and you just took so much initiative. Like, what did God do in your heart, and how did you bring it here?
Well, I'll tell you, when we went to Woodburn, Indiana to interview Monica, and just sitting and hearing her story and hearing how the ministry started and just how many babies have been saved, it just hit me at my core, because with our own adopted children, we don't know their birth mothers, but we don't know their birth fathers. And it just made me think that their birth mothers could have been in this situation.
Mm, yeah.
And, but obviously just made very courageous decisions to give them up for adoption. And I just thought, this is something that every town should have just as an option. Mm-hmm. Even if you install it, you don't want it to ever be used, mm-hmm. but it's there to prevent a baby from being left somewhere where it shouldn't be left.
Yeah.
And so I came back to Tupelo, and I just was praying, talking with the Lord about, like, I don't even know, like, how do you get started? And I started just having conversations and making connections, and come to find out there was a group of people that were already trying to get a box mm-hmm. installed here in Tupelo. So I made contact with them, and was able to just be a participate in part of the fundraising portion of that. So that
a box lot is... of the fundraising. You killed it, man. You are the reason that it was funded.
Well, it
and reaching
is...
out to people and connections that you knew.
People that I knew,
including AFA,
and churches in the area that I knew had a heart for mm-hmm. pro-life issues, and that I knew would jump on board with this.
But you were the advocate, and like so many people would have stopped at, that's a really great idea, someone should do that. But like, it's intimidating to come to a pastor and have that initial like money ask, or, mm-hmm. you know, it takes time and connections. So
yeah.
you were obedient.
Yes. And being able, like, again, being educated and knowing how to talk about it mm-hmm. and it can be, you know, some people, their initial reaction is like, oh, a box, like mm-hmm. that's kind of, isn't that weird?
Yeah. But, well, if you haven't seen it, it's hard to picture. Like,
it's hard to imagine, but it is really well-crafted mm-hmm. box. They're all handmade in Indiana, where Monica's, Kelsey's headquarters are. She has a staff of people. They make them here in the U.S., and they take very good care to make sure they meet all of the safety specifications. And again, they're temperature climate controlled, and the silent alarm, and everything is just done to make the baby as mm-hmm. comfortable and as safe as mm-hmm. possible.
Well, and if you're watching this on social media or on AFA streaming, we're going to see if we can get a couple clips from you to show them a little bit
sure.
From the documentary as we're talking to see it. But if you're listening on the radio, you need to go see the documentary.
Yeah.
And you can also go to the Safe Haven website, right, if you want to actually see what the boxes look like. What is their website?
Their website is shbb.org.
Okay.
shbb.org. Or you can just Google Safe Haven Baby Boxes and you can find all the information. They have all the locations on a U.S. map of every where a box is located in every state. And you can also get information on how do I bring a box to my town? What is the process? Awesome. What are the steps to get that done? And they can walk you all through that as well.
Are there other ways to support the ministry if you're not able to bring a box? Or?
Sure. You can just give. And actually, when we were there interviewing Monica, she actually makes like tumblers. She decorates tumblers and she makes Safe Haven Baby Box tumblers and they sell those on the side to help fund the boxes and the building of the boxes.
Wow.
So there is also a place on the website that if you just want to make a donation to Safe Haven Baby Boxes, you can do that as well.
That is incredible. What a unique way to pour into, to take your hurt and to care about somebody else.
I want to say one more thing. Thanks. They do have a crisis hotline that they have available for a woman that doesn't know what to do, or if you want to call and just talk to someone who can counsel you and talk to you and tell you, give you information on what you can do and things like that. And so that crisis number is also on the website. They will also, and I love this, they do not accept any government funding at all.
Wow.
And that is because they want to be able to pray with the women who call the crisis hotline. And so that is also available on the website.
Good
that,
for them.
That number.
Well, we just have a few more minutes left in the show, but there's one more thing I'd love to ask you about that's actually not totally related to this, but we'd love to have both you and Emily on to talk about how God is continuing your journey. And both of you all are so passionate about the pro-life issue. And I just love the different creative ways that God works. But you guys have recently kind of started something new because Emily said, I don't think we're supposed to build our family, but I just still have babies on my heart, Austin. What do I do with this? Tell me about that.
So with the organization that we adopted our children through New Beginnings, they have an interim care program. It's not really foster. It's kind of caring for babies that are transitioning from birth mom to adoptive family. And so we heard about this and we thought this might be a good way for Emily to get the baby bug,
fever,
the baby fever, take care of that. You know, just it's just usually a couple of nights. And so we went through the process again to just get qualified to be able to do that. We have not gotten any calls for interim care yet, but we're on that list, and it's one of those things.
You had to do additional training, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, we had to do some additional qualifications to do that. Very similar to basically it's the foster care qualifications, and so we did all that, and it's just nice to know that we can still be a part of New Beginnings. But we are both, you know, people ask us all the time, like, are you done? I don't know if we'll ever say, like, we're not ever going to adopt again. It's just, again, it's surrendering to the Lord. And like, we feel like that our family is what the Lord wants our family to be at this point.
Yes.
And we're always open to whatever the Lord may have for our family. So it's just, you know, you never really give a 100% answer. You just kind of, it's just always, you're just waiting on the Lord to see what he's going to do.
Okay, so to make sure we understand what interim care, that is a baby.
Was just born.
So a baby was born by the birth mother.
Okay.
And the birth mother has signed away her parental rights, and the adoptive family may live in another state, and they have to travel, and it may take a couple of days to get them here
to Tupelo,
in Mississippi, to Tupelo. And so that baby needs to go somewhere just for 1 or 2 days.
Gotcha.
And so
make sure that baby's being loved on.
That's right. And prayed over.
Love it.
And yeah. And then
you guys
it's,
get to be the ones that give the baby.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, and then we get the blessing of being on the other side of it and blessing an adoptive family with
for sure.
a child.
If I had somebody to put a baby in my arms, I would want it to be you and Emily, because I just know that you guys would be praying over that baby, praying over the transition, praying over the attachment. And like in talking with Emily too off air, she has just said like, that is our goal.
It's absolutely
to just really love on these adoptive parents and to be that that transition, that grace, that oil that helps there not be a clog in the wheel.
She even ordered some onesies that have "For this child I prayed."
Oh,
and oh my gosh.
Because that's the onesie. She's like, if this ever happens, like, I want to give the child in this onesie that has.
I love
it. Yeah.
I just love that God doesn't work the same way twice. And like, if you are open, like you guys were, to surrendering to God's plan, like just watch the way he's going to write your story and creative ways he can use you. But I'm so grateful for Tupelo that we have a box. Thank you for being obedient.
Absolutely. It's coming, right?
Yeah. It's coming. Yeah. It just got approved by the city. So and it'll be installed in one of the fire stations here in Tupelo very soon.
Is incredible. We are almost out of time. Yeah.
Thank you for coming on today.
Absolutely.
You came on in just a few minutes time. Yeah.
So. Thank you all so much for having me. It's a joy.
And if you guys are listening and you're still waiting for God to fill those desires of your hearts, just know he is a creative God. Just say, God, I'm willing. I'm willing to be obedient. Just use me and he will plant those ideas and opportunities in your heart. And it will be a really awesome story. Yeah.
I think it's always surprising. So are so many guests that come on and have stories like this. It's always so surprising to see just how the Lord uses your story, you know, that you thought was broken in the beginning and how he's made it whole. Thank y'all for listening to Hannah's Heart, and we will see you back next week.